It's a very special sefer. It's called Musar HaMishnah, written by Rabbi Yehuda Lev Ginsberg, Rav Beir Denver, Colorado. Born in 1888, passed away in 1946. His yahrzeit is Chaf Zayin Tishrei. And he wrote an incredible sefer where he goes through the Mishnayos and he extracts lessons not just in halacha, which of course is what a Mishnah is. A Mishnah is a halacha. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, it calls Mishnayos, you know, halachos, because that's what it is. It's supposed to be kind of a synopsis of the halacha, and then you have the Gemara, which expands upon it. Right? But he extracts Musar lessons from Nigla, from Mishnah. Okay, it's a Gevaldik sefer. Kobe, you got a copy?
What's the tune
for
this Mishnah?
What's the tune? I sent it already. Oh, I'm like shocked no one took me up on it yet. When you master the first mission, I'll send you the second one. You could have all of Pesachim Baal Peh in your head by Pesach if you work hard. There's some really good ones. Okay, Ora La Arbas are both Knesset Chametz La'Aroner. So let's start from the beginning of Pesachim. Okay, and then hopefully this will inspire you that as you learn, not just the Mishnayos Pesachim to prepare for Pesach, but everything that we're about to learn a new Mishnah today, Gittin Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. So obviously you have to understand the sugya in context, but you also have to ask yourself, on a deeper level, what is being conveyed by this Mishnah? What's the Ratzon Hashem that's lurking just beneath the Pasuk Pshat? You do that with a Pasuk in Chumash, right? When you read a Pasuk in Chumash, so then you think about what else is it saying beyond telling me a halacha or a historical account of Avram Avinu. So the same thing is true. When we learn Torah Shabbat Peh, it shouldn't just be a legal text. It should be speaking to us and conveying lessons in Avodas Hashem. Okay? So let's see. So how does Maseches Pesachim begin, Chavra? Or la arbasar bodkin es hachametz la'or hanir. Gevaldik Mishnah. Or la arbasar means? Good question, right? On the night of the 14th, Or Lar Basar, on the night of Erev Pesach, so again, obviously in Judaism we know that night precedes day, right? So the night of Erev Pesach, the night of the 14th of Nisan, Or Lar Basar, now Or obviously is a very strange word to say the night of, which we'll see. But the night of Erev Pesach, Botkin Esa Chametz L'Or Haner. One searches for Chametz Le'or haner, by the light of a candle. By the light of a candle. I'm trying to remember, I was learning some Mishnayos with my son on Shabbos, and I asked him, I said, Yaakov, are you allowed to use a flashlight for Bedikas Chametz? What did he say? He said something really good about a candle. I'm trying to remember what he said. I like to start with the candle, there's reason to use a candle, but the post can also say you can use a flashlight. The flashlight might be more helpful, especially for hard spots where you don't want to put a candle under the couch. Probably makes more sense to use a flashlight. But there's also an inyan of, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. There's an inyan of using a candle, where it derives it in Maseches Pesachim from Pesukim. Okay, so we search for chametz with the light of a ner. Okay, so says the Musar Mishnah, V'isa al zeh b'gemara. Gemara comments on this Mishnah, the Lakach lo tani Lel Arba'asar. Gemara wants to know, why didn't it just say Lel Arba'asar? What's Ur Arba'asar? What's Ur Arba'asar? The light of the 14th? What do I mean the light of the 14th? They should have said the night of the 14th. The Gemara says, Mishum de Lishna Ma'alia Nakat. The Gemara Nakat selected a Lishna Ma'alia, refined speech, elevated language, to talk in a sensitive way. Now, Chevra, Tzadikim point out, it's not by chance that Maseches Pesachim begins with what? With a very refined type of speech. First of all, to say Laila, it's not like the, it's not the worst word you probably know. Right? And yet the Gemara hesitates to start with something that implies darkness, right? That implies, he'll explain why night is seen as an ominous time. I was just in the Rebbe room and someone was talking about, someone had mentioned that maybe they were traveling, they were going to Colombia and Panama. So Rav Dan Cohen said, you have to be very careful in those places. It's like known, you don't go out like once it's dark outside in Colombia. It's very dangerous there. It's incredibly dangerous there. Right? So night lends itself to danger. We understand that on a certain level. So Chazal didn't want to start off a Masechta with the word Laila, and especially Maseches Pesachim, because the whole Indian of Pesach is what? Like it sounds, Pesach, a mouth that speaks. Pesach, as Arizal says, can be understood as Pesach. A successful Seder has a lot of words. Kol amarba lesaper, hareze meshubach. Right? The more you tell the story, the better. Right? Pasuk says you should eat the matzah in a sacred place, in a holy place. Where is the holy place? Tzadikim explain. Tiferes Shlomo Verdamsk, I think, explains that the holy place is you, right? The Makom Kadosh. Make sure your mouth is purified so that when you put the matzah, when you eat the matzah in a holy place, i.e. in your mouth, right, it'll be refined, it'll be pure. So a Yom Tov that has so much to do with the redemption of speech, that's what Pesach has a lot to do with, learning how to communicate with Hashem again, right, crying out to Hashem, that's sort of the turning point in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So obviously that Masechta has to begin with added sensitivity to what? The Koach HaDibor. Okay? Which of course, Koach HaDibor is the defining characteristic of what separates us from the animals. It makes us human. And of course, if Klal Yisrael wants to be a Klal Yisrael, we have to start by being people. So we have to refine our speech. Okay, so a lot of reasons why Maseches Pesachim would begin that way. But the bottom line is the Gemara says it didn't want to say Leil Arbasar because it wanted to use a Lishna Ma'aliyah. It wanted to speak in a refined way. The Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, second line, La'olam al yotze adam davar maguna mipiv. A person should never say a davar maguna, something unrefined, right? Something maguna, something perverse or disgusting, should never leave one's mouth. And we see how sensitive the Torah is, how sensitive Hashem is. Sha'arei ikem akasum shmona osios v'lohotzi davar maguna. The Torah, ikem means like, went out of its way, right? It twisted itself almost. The Torah changed its language. The Torah, which is so sensitive to every letter and every word, the Torah was willing to write 8 extra letters to speak in a more refined way. Where do we see that? Mina behema ha-tahora. You know what's the opposite of tar? You would say tamei, right? Torah doesn't write that. Mina behema ha-tahora. U'mina behema asher einenu tahora. Pure, and what? And not pure. The Torah doesn't want to use the word tummy. That's incredibly sensitive. Now, the Torah elsewhere does use the word tummy, right? Okay, good question. Right, so you'll have to figure out why Dafka here, the Torah wanted to make that point. Right? Sometimes you have to label something tummy as tummy. But look at the sensitivity, right? To say not pure. Not yet from. Right? Don't say that a person lies. You say the person didn't exactly tell the truth. There's a sensitivity you find by certain tzaddikim to talk in a way that's always towards the positive. And the Bavitcher was a master of this. Rebbe says you don't call it a base chaylim. You don't call it a place of illness. You call it a place of refuah. Focus on the good that's happening there. Don't focus on the negativity that's happening there. Don't focus on the tzara. Focus on the yeshua, on the success. Okay? So explains the Musar Mishnah, explains Rav Ginsburg, V'hanira lomar demasha, amru, we're in the second paragraph. V'hanira lomar demasha, amru kan, shalailahu lashon she'eno nekia. That which we're suggesting here, that the very word laila is unrefined speech. Zeu lo rak pepnei sheba laila hachoshech sholi. It's not like the example that I gave you, that to walk the streets of certain neighborhoods late at night is considered dangerous. It's not just that. It's not just that, you know, in the darkness of night people are scared of certain things. Right? It's not just that. Ela b'pnei shebelaila ein zman shel mitzvah. You know what makes nighttime a dangerous time? And even a spiritually dangerous time? You know why people do more averos in the darkness of night? It's not just that it's not just on the secrecy of the night, the hiddenness of the night. There's a lack of spiritual energy at the night because Laila, he says, is what? Is not a zman of mitzvah. What does that mean, it's not a zman of mitzvah? Kamosha ain makriven karbanos balaila. Uvi yom ziv chachem. You bring karbanos by yom. Not at night. Vein mitzvahs tefillin. Tefillin is not at night. Tzitzis is not at night. Right? The daytime is the time where a Jew is able to wear his talis and wear his tefillin and offer karbanos. Ve'yeshba shlita shel choshech ruchani. So therefore, the nighttime, because it's more limited in terms of performance of mitzvos, so for that reason, it's a spiritual darkness that descends upon the world at night. Ulefichach amru kan kevin sheba mitzvos hanoheges v'pesach. Ha-mitzvah rishona mehem maschilin mibalayla. But comes along, and this is one of the big chidushim of Pesach. It's a chiddush about the way we start, the first Mishnah, Mesaches Pesachim. It's a chiddush about bedikas chametz in general. And it's really one of the underlying messages of the entire Pesach Seder, which is expressed through the pasuk, Laila kayom ya'ir. Laila, a night, kayom ya'ir, that was illuminated like day. When we left Mitzrayim, right, we left in a state of illumination. So give me just 1 second. What does that mean? So he says, so for the fact that the first mitzvah of Pesach, the Bedikas Chametz, is taking place at night, it's a unique nighttime mitzvah, which are more rare than daytime mitzvos. Kamosha amru kan, she mitzvahs ha-bedika hi balayla, since the mitzvah Bedikas Chametz is dafka, a nighttime mitzvah, lefichach amru b'leshonam hanikia, so what Chazal are saying is that what? This is a night that there's more or, kiner mitzvah v'torah or. There's more. It's a night where there's more light. Maybe that's part of the secret of why the Rambam says a person has tremendous success in Torah when they learn at night. Why? Because there's this tremendous void that's available to be filled. During the day, when there's a lot of, you know, mitzvahs taking place, right? So Lima Torah doesn't stand out as much. But at night, when there's not more taking place, and Vagisavo Yomam Valayla, and you're Osek with the near mitzvah of a Torah or, so the Rambam says a person has great success. There's a special success a person has when they study Torah, when they learn night seder. It's a different success than they have during a morning seder. Lefichach again. So therefore, lefichach amru b'leshonam hanakia shebalayla zo yesh va'or. This night has light. Or lar basar. That's the vart. Kemo dichsiv ki near mitzvah. This is the light of a mitzvah that illuminates the soul. And therefore, since this night has the special privilege of having a mitzvah, such a chashav mitzvah, like searching for and eradicating one's chametz, it illuminates one's night, it illuminates one's life, and therefore, efshar lomar aleha or larbas. Yes, Az. Right, so you have to think about those Yom Tov, right? We have a Kriyas Megillah at night and by day, even though the main one is by day, right? Chanukah is a nighttime mitzvah. You see, especially in the Derabbanans, when we know there's a lot of Laila, right? Specifically Chanukah and Purim, right? I mean, think about it. Purim, it's very interesting. Gullus is compared to Laila, right? The Gemara says in Bav Metzia Pei Gimel that Olam Hazeh is compared to Laila. All of life is a dark experience. Choshech, it's a dark world. It's a dark and scary world. Kafol u'mechupal, says the Zohar Kadosh. Darkness upon darkness. Layers upon darkness. Hastara b'soich hastara. Concealment and more concealment. So, it's interesting that the two Yom Tovim derabanan, right, the last two of the 620 mitzvot, 613 Daraisa and 7 derabanans, number 619 is Purim. Number 620 is Hanukkah. It's interesting. Purim has a nighttime and a daytime component. Right? We read the Megillah at night, even though the main Kriyas of Megillah in a certain sense is really by day. That's why we make a second Shechianu by day. But then Hanukkah is a mitzvah that totally, it's mamish all about illuminating the night. Right? So it makes a lot of sense that that's the mitzvah that's going to carry us till the light of Mashiach. So Dafka, as the darkness intensifies, Hashem gives us mitzvos to fight against the darkness, right? But also, you see, at the root of the first holiday, right, it also starts with an Or L'Arbasar. which is very gishmak. Yeah.
I don't know if we're gonna touch on this in this piece, but
let's hear.
There's obviously as you were saying before, there's a very strong connection between Laila and Galus and Yom and Gula.
Right.
I think it's very fitting that the beginning of Pesach we start off in Galus, and then the rest of it we're kind of end like
right.
The rest of it goes through the day.
And this is catching a glimpse of the light before we, you know, go into the darkness to then emerge back into the light.
It's like a way.
And we start in the dark and we push it out till the morning, right?
And then that fits really well with Hanukkah and Purim because, like, Hanukkah is very much more the galus, I think, holiday. Where it's like our way of like pushing through, like through Galus. But Purim is us then going again from Galus to Geula, where we start off at night and then we go to day.
So we go back to the second Beis HaMikdash.
Oh, and then maybe even like pushing us through our Galus now to the third Beis HaMikdash.
Mm. Okay. Very nice. Yeah.
Saw in Kiti saw that there was two big letters, like I think one at the end of the fifth and then one at the end of the sixth aliyah. And I think I just figured out like some type of idea. I could be completely wrong though, but the letters are Nun and Resh, which are Ner. So I think it's kind of like saying like in a time where like we sinned, like the biggest sin, the Chedah Ego, was in this week's parsha. So I guess kind of like Hashem saying like there's always hidden light everywhere.
Mm. I think very nice.
To this, like in between Purim and Pesach, like we need to find that hidden light when we're so like, I guess.
Very nice.
This attached from.
Very nice. Or Alar Basan. Both can ask Hamas, or Haner. Very nice. Shloshim Yom Kodam Achag. Very nice.
So
good Chidushim, Chavar. Good Chidushim.
I saw that Rav Shor was talking about Sumer Rav Asetov in terms of Pesach and Yadim.
Okay.
But he started speaking in terms of like how Kaddish and Orchat doesn't fit that. But why?
Right.
So we're including
Pesach. We jump to Kaddish before Orchatz.
Right.
That's a jump.
So why are we including Dikas Chametz, I guess, into Pesach when it's not really Pesach?
You said this is the Sur Meirah that precedes even the.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even.
It's interesting. Okay, you're saying within the Seder, everyone has this Var, right? The Ase Tov comes before the Sur Meirah. Kaddish
right.
Before Orchatz.
But this is going according to the.
Right. Okay, so that's good to know. It's good to know that we have both. I'm meaning from the broader, fuller Pesach picture, we have a Sur Meirah to start. You got to get rid of your chametz to start.
Right.
But then once you show up at the Seder, you have to just, you know, jump right in.
Right.
It could be something like that. Interesting. Okay, one more comment. Yes.
Why do we search for chametz at night?
Why do we search for chametz at night? Because we want to use a candle. Shraga b'tiara lo mahani, and a candle by day doesn't help.
Would
it make more sense to just search when the lights are on? Yeah. And it's not a search. The Gemara darshan's everything from Sukkim. Chipus mi chipus, ner mi ner. But you're right, on a certain level, it would seemingly make more sense to just turn on all the lights, or search by day. Right? The halacha is, if you didn't search at night, you do search by day. That is the Mishnah. But ideally, there's like this fight against the darkness. We want to be able also to... We want it to shine into those little corners.
It's like you look extra hard at night.
Right, there's more... Right.
It's also like the last search.
Yeah, that's true. Right, there's a lot of cleaning. Right. It's the last search where the candle can shine into that darkest corner. Maybe better than the sunlight coming in through the window. Right? The candle against the dark and illuminate that dark spot. Yeah.
I heard that Pesach is like Leil Shimurim. Is that true? So
sure.
It's for sure because Hashem.
I mean, Hashem said
over.
So I'll go with it. Hashem said so in the Torah, so I'll go with it.
For sure, because Hashem passed over us, but could you also say that because we're doing all these mitzvahs at night?
Right.
Because of the Seder, this.
Very good. So that's a good part. Right. Meaning, usually night is a dangerous time because, like you said, it's Ein Zman Shel Mitzvah. Right? And therefore, there's a shlita shel chayshach ruchani. There's a spiritual darkness. But when you illuminate the night with so many mitzvos, so then you have a shmirah. I love that. It's a great part. Excellent. Have a good chidushim. Very nice. Beautiful. Okay? All right, let's go right there. Okay, Vihine HaRaivid. You see the paragraph? Vihine HaRaivid Kasav. The Raivid has a famous comment. It's quoted in the back of Maseches Pesachim. The Raivid says, you know why it says Ur? Because it's actually telling you about the right time for Bedikas Chametz. Don't do Bedikas Chametz when it's completely dark. Rather, start your Bedikas Chametz when there's still a little bit of light. So what does that mean? Does that mean after Shkia but before Tzeisach Kochavim? What exactly does that mean? Hine Araibid Kosov. Dimishum Hachi Nakat Or. The reason the Mishnah selected the word Or. Lomar. Shebetchila Salaila Sheyeshba Or Adayin. At the beginning of the night where there's still a little bit of light. Roy Livduk. That's the time to check. Kedei Shelo Yisrasho O Shelo Yishkach. That you don't become lazy about it or get too tired. You wait till it's dark and now you're all tired. Or if you push it off, you'll forget. Right? So we go with like sort of the minimum amount of night to allow us to begin the Bedikas Chametz process. A night that's still somewhat illuminated because it's not fully nighttime yet. The cave under Osa Shah Kushtahu Shiyeshva Or Tana Or Mishum Lishnam Alya. And therefore, since the time that's actually being indicated according to the sheet of the Ravid by the Mishnah, right? The Osa Shah Kushtahu. What does Kushta mean? Kushta means truth. In truth, it's still a time where there is light. So to say Laila wouldn't really be fair. Right? Because if we want to search at a time where there's still a little bit of light, I have to acknowledge that light. So therefore, again, Kaven to Osa Shah Kushtahu. At that time there truly is Shiyeshva Or. So therefore Tana Or. Mishum Lishna Ma'alya. Vilo Tana Bitchilas Leil Yodalit Bodkinas Tachametz. It would not be entirely accurate if we said on the night of the fourth, beginning of the night of the 14th. I would think the beginning of the night means Seizu Chachavim. And the Mishnah's Dafka hinting to us, no, don't do it then. Do it a little bit earlier than that. V'im lo mipnei tamzeh, mishum lishna ma'alya, lo haya sham tana choyshech l'or. But if not for this sensitivity to speech, the Tana would not have replaced, referred to darkness as or. Umikan ata lamed shabadika tzarech lakdimo im or hayom kedei shelo yisrasha. And therefore the Ravid is telling us, right, that you can't just say, well, lishna ma'alia, so I'm going to lie. So again, what he's saying, I think the point that the Muslim Mishnah is making is the following. He's saying, on the one hand, look how we're prepared to change our language, to write things in a more refined way. But part of refined speech also means telling the truth. So if we're really supposed to check at a time that's mamish laila, right? So to say or would be unfair, would be lying. But it's sensitive. It's a more sensitive, euphemistic way to refer to laila. Yeah, but that's also insensitive because it's misleading. So says the Ravid, no, it's not misleading. It's a sensitive speech, and it's actually true because you're supposed to check at the very beginning of the laila when it's still even a little bit light outside. Okay, so with great sensitivity, the first Mishnah of the Maseches Pesachim teaches us how to speak, and it teaches us how to transform that opening, you know, mitzvah of Pesachim to bring light into dark places. Okay, Gavaldi. All right, let's try the next phrase. Or la arbas arbotkin esachametz lo arner. Same line of the Mishnah, a different limud. V'nei isa al zeh begemar Pesachim davav amidbeis. Habodeg tzarech shivatel. However, we know the Gemara tells us we have something called what? Bedikas chametz, something called bitol chametz. And we wonder, do I need both? Do I really need both? If I clean up everything, what am I being mevatel? If I'm mevatel, and let's assume that bitol means I'm making it hefker, it's one way to understand it. So then it's not mine. Then I don't need to search for it. Says the Gemara, habodeg, one who checks, still needs to do bitol chametz. Habodek tzarech shivatel. Why? What's the logic? What am I being mavato? V'nei isal zeberan habitol hu midin hefkerhu. Like I just mentioned, according to some Rishonim, what is the bitol? The bitol is making something hefker. Va'af agav de hefker ki haygavna lo mahani. And even though usually making something hefker without some type of kinyan that accompanies it doesn't really work. Mishum da amrinan bigamara de mavat lo belibo. Here, really, the bittul is simply just a decision to say, I don't want this chametz. And normally, that's not significant enough to make something hefker. Ubevadai de le'inyan hefker mamono, hefker libo lo mahani. And to make your possessions hefker, making it hefker in your heart, that doesn't work. Nu hefker, we know. Didvarim shebalev einam dvarim. Right? Spoke about it yesterday. Spoke about it a lot of times in recent weeks. It's not enough to just think it. It's not even enough, like we learned yesterday, to be Megali or Das regarding the get. You have to say what you want to say, if you want, according to Abaye. We passed like Abaye, we learned yesterday. Right? So what's this inyan of being Mavatal here? All of a sudden you can do a bittul belev? How does that work? Hachashani, here it's different. Why? Lefi she'eino berishuso shel Adam. Because really, when Pesach comes, your chametz is not yours. Eino birshuso shel Adam. It's taken away from you. Who takes it away from you? Hashem does. Hashem says a Jew can't own chametz on Pesach. So when Pesach comes, Hashem has made it hefker. So all you have to do to kind of sign off on that is agree in your mind, in your heart. Look at the words again. It's different here. Here a bittul belev would work. Even though we always say dvarim shebelev, the thoughts and the feelings of the heart, einam dvarim. It's not, those are unspoken. You have to speak it out if you want it to count in halacha. But here, since it's eino bereshuso shel Adam, since your chametz is not really in your possession, in other words, it's not really halachically considered yours, Hashem takes it away from you. Elisha asa hakasuv ki'ilu hu bereshusei. Yet the pasuk considers it, the Torah considers it as if it's your problem. Right? You have to take it seriously as if it's your problem, even though so it's like, it's the worst of both worlds, right? It's not yours to benefit from, but it's yours in terms of it's your problem to get rid of it. And therefore, so when he's megala his das, that what? That he doesn't desire it, right? And he doesn't want this chametz. When he says, I don't want anything to do with this, this is of no value to me, so that's sagi, that's sufficient, that's enough. Okay, so very interesting chiddush when it comes to chametz on Pesach. We have this unusual ability to be mevatel it, and even though bittul is mitam hefker, bittul is hefker, it's making it ownerless, and usually to declare something ownerless there has to at least be some type of declaration. It wouldn't be enough to just be mevatel it in one's lev. And yet here the Gemara indicates that bittul belev would be sufficient. So the Rishonim wonder, how could that be? The answer is because the chametz is not really yours to begin with. Hashem takes it out of your possession. And as long as you're like not along, as long as you say, maskim, you know, I agree, so then it's considered not yours. Okay? But hold on a second. V'nira lomar b'zeh od tam. But let's go a step further. Let's go one step further, says the Musar HaMishnah. That's the classic, okay, Ran, famous Ran in Pesachim. It says the Musar HaMishnah. Let's go a step further. However, why does hefker not work? Why can't I be mafker something? This is my pen. If I decide it's not mine anymore, so it's not mine. Why can't I just have that change of heart? Why is that insufficient? Why is that insufficient? Because people don't know about it. Is that the problem? Why can't it work? Zeh mishum damrinan. The kol's man shalohotzi bisvasav bifnei edim shehifkir, because until he enunciates with his lips that this is hefker, efsharhu shalogamar belev gamar lafkira. Because until you're ready to say it, maybe you don't really mean it. Right? Tell me you love me. I love you in my heart. If you can't say I love you, then you're not there yet. Then you don't really mean it. Right? First, you can play over a conversation. You're upset at someone. You want to talk it out with them. You can play it over in your head, but until you're ready to really sit down and have the conversation, right, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. When a person has the willingness to say it, I want to be mafker this pen. I decided in my mind. Are you ready? Are you really? Are you ready to say it? You ready to own it? Right, to give it a real expression, I don't know. Like I'm basically there, so this is good enough. No, halacha says until you're ready to say it, until you're ready to enunciate it, until you're ready to say it out loud in the presence of Edom, we're not convinced that you really want to be mafkirit. Ki ha'odim alul sha'olim machshavos rabos belivo. Because, however, how many of us have good intentions in our heart, in our mind, good thoughts, we want to do the right thing. Ach ein elu dvarim shokayama. But they're not things that are lasting. They don't have kiyum. They don't last. Right? I didn't bring it out into the world. It was a fleeting thought. Ki kishem sheim olam kachem yotzim. Because just as they come up into my mind, yotzim, they go out of my mind. Aval kan kaven de mitzvah ka'avad. But here, where he's doing a mitzvah, where Hashem is leading the way, and Hashem is saying, what? I'm taking away your chametz. I just need you to sign off a little bit. Here, where he's doing a mitzvah, talinan, shemi shemafkir belibo, we're tola, meaning we hang it on. We hang it on the fact that what? That a person who's willing to be mafkir in his heart, who osa kain belev gamor, then that's good enough. You know why? Why? Maybe he's not really into it. Maybe he's not committed to it. No, if he's doing a mitzvah, lefichach yesh mamashus lemachshava zu. This thought is substantive. It has mamashus. Chaver, you know why? You do know why. Because you're learning Maseches Gittin. What's the famous Rambam about the husband who doesn't want to give his wife a get? And we force him to give a get. And he says, Rotzani. And we ask, says the Rambam, but isn't that a joke? How do I know he really wants to? Because it's a mitzvah, and a Jew wants to do a mitzvah. I don't have to second guess it. And that's exactly the Rambam that he quotes. Shrei kvar biya ha-Rambam v'perek beiz mi gerishim. The Rambam explains in the second parak of Hilchos Gerishim, the laws of divorce. De lakach efshar le-beistin lakofa adam shi'igarish esishto. Beistin has the ability to apply kfiya, to apply force and coercion to a man to divorce his wife. Afa gav de beget be'inan shi'e beritzono. Even though that by a get we require ratzon. So how do I know that's what he really wants? Zeh mishum damrinon deritzono hapnimi lishmoa derechachamim. Because we believe, without exception, that a Jewish heart, his ratzon pnimi, his inner desire is to listen to the words of the sages. U'masha'eino rotza litenas a get, and the only reason he's being stubborn about giving the get, zeh rak machmas yitzro shetokvo, alav. It's because his Yetzirah has the upper hand over him. So if we can just beat up his Yetzirah, his Ratzon Pnimi, his true self, will come out. V'kevin shehuka, achetoshesh Yitzro. So by striking him until we weaken his Yetzirah, va'omer rotza ani, and he says, I want to divorce this woman, kvar gerish lertzono. That's called divorcing by will, by his choice. And therefore, v'hinei im bizman shehu tzaveach va'omer. She'ein who wrote Zelasos, Kefi Dina Torah. Amrin and Suratsono Pnini Hula Hefech. So if we have a situation where what? Right? Where he's saying, he's screaming, I don't want to follow, right? He's fighting it tooth and nail. And we still believe that what we can squeeze out of him, his innermost Ratzon, which is what? The opposite of what he's saying, of what he's projecting. I don't want to give the get, I don't want to give the get. If we believe that buried in all of that, negativity is somehow an inner ratzon that's the very opposite, that's screaming, I want to do the mitzvah. Im kein bevadai, shemi shemachshavto hi lasos kefi mitzvah satorah. So all the more so here, where Hashem is essentially taking away your chametz, right? And you're saying in your mind, I'm in, I agree. Bevadai hu shamrinan shekein hu machshavto apnimus. So we say there's no doubt at all. Even a guy who was telling us, he's not into it, we would say, ah, but really you are. So a guy who's thinking, I want to do what Hashem wants me to do, v'osa kein b'lev gamor, right? Not like a person who's doing something optional. If a person's making something hefker, maybe he means it, maybe he doesn't. That's why the stakes are high. You got to enunciate it. You got to tell us what you're thinking. But here, where there's a mitzvah, and all he has to do is sort of fall into line with that mitzvah, which of course, even if he was fighting it, we would believe that he wants to do the mitzvah. So here it's very easy for us to recognize his machshava pnimis, v'osa kein b'lev gamor. And we're absolutely confident that he's doing it with a full heart. V'lo v'inan lezeh lo shum dibor v'lo shum edim. Therefore, says the Musar Mishnah, we don't need him to say it, and we don't need what? We don't need witnesses. Now, bear in mind, he also did a bedika, so he showed us that he's serious. Right? But it's enough for him to just have a ratzon pnimi, and that's enough to be mevatel b'chametz. Okay, go to the top of the next page. Let's finish this paragraph, and then I'll take comments. Ukvar biru b'zeh madi'isa b'shilhi chagiga. And with this, we can explain the closing Gemara at the very end of Maseches Chagiga. Poshe Yisrael, beautiful Gemara. If you never heard this Gemara, it's a beautiful Gemara. Poshe Yisrael, the sinners of Israel. And Poshea, by the way, means what? Poshea is a person who does a Veira B'mezid. So Poshe Yisrael, Malei Mitzos Karimon. Even the sinners, even the worst Jew is filled with mitzvos, like a rimon. Dichsiv, Kefelach Harimon Rakasech. Says in Shir HaShirim in the fourth parak, like the split in the pomegranate, so too are your cheekbones. Rashi says, it's like a sign of beauty. Women are sometimes concerned with how their cheekbones look, how their eyes look when they smile. Right? So in the lovers communicating at Shir HaShirim, he says, right, your cheeks are like rosy red, like the split of a pomegranate. The Gemara darshins, al tikre rakaseich, don't read it rakaseich, which means either your cheeks or your brow. Ella rekonin shabach malei mitzvos karimon. Read it like what? Like the many seeds of a rimon. So to our rakaseich, even your rekonim, even empty Jews are full. That's how the Gemara reads it. Even a Jew, afilu reikonin, shevecha, malei in mitzvos kriyimon. Even a rake, an empty Jew, is full of mitzvos, like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. Vinei kasha. So I'll ask you a kasha, a very simple kasha. Im ko tovim hema, vipnei ma hema, nekron, b'shem posha yisrael. Some iman avshach. If they're so full of mitzvos, so then why are they called the sinners of Israel? They should be called tzaddikim. It's a stira minei ubei. You're telling me they're posha Yisrael, but they're full of mitzvos. So they're obviously not such big sinners. They do a lot of mitzvos. Right? Why are they called posha Yisrael if they're filled with mitzvos like a rimon? Ubiuro bezeh. Dekan lo nemar osin mitzvos kirimon. I like this diok a lot. There's other answers to this question. But I love this answer. He says it doesn't say that they do mitzvos like a pomegranate. It says that they're filled with the potential of mitzvos like a pomegranate. Unfortunately, these people are still choosing to not do a mitzvah. But in their inner world, their inner potential is filled with mitzvos. That's the inner essence of a Jew. Malei mitzvos kareimon. Hanu sheyesh behem nitios tovos v'ratzon yofel l'kayim es kol ha-mitzvos shel ha-Torah. They have a good nitiyah, a good inclination, a ratzon yofel, a beautiful desire to do mitzvos. Somehow that got buried. Somehow that got covered over. As I've told you many times, we call a person who denies Torah and mitzvos a kofer. Kofer means, chaf peresh, means a cover, like the kapores, the cover of the aron. Somehow it got covered over. But it's there. It's within them. The Yetzahara is blocking that potential from coming out b'poel, lamasa, in reality. Right? It's buried within their spirit. And therefore they're compared to what? They're compared to the rimon, to the pomegranate. Ki arimon mibachutz eino nira yafe. The outside of the rimon, right? The hard skin, the hard peel of the rimon, is not so beautiful. You'll tell me that it has a beautiful color, but look at it closely. It's always very blemished on the outside, beat up. As opposed to look at a pomegranate seed, it's like one of the wonders of the world. You can literally see like the juicy, shining pomegranate seed. It's a gewaldic thing. Umareu kedavar kosher she'in bo tam v'reach. The outside, it looks like a davar kosher. It looks hardened. It looks like it has no smell. It has no taste. It's inedible. But you crack it open. Rakishapoyschen oso azira hagarinim shabo she'ish b'am tam v'reach. You take out the pomegranate seeds. They have a good smell. They have a good taste. Kain elu poshi yisrael. Tolzman shemistaka b'hem al atzad achitzoni shalem. When you see the outside of a Jew, who unfortunately is not practicing, his outside is very unbecoming. It doesn't look Jewish at all. But nonetheless, but a person who's able to what? Lachdor, to penetrate, to drill into the depth of the person's soul. Who yiras hashefa harav. They'll see the abundance of tchunos, ushiifos tovos, and imsos shama. They'll see the incredible character traits, and the incredible potential, and the incredible desire, and shi'ifa, and longing that is buried within that person. It's all there in potential. So again, what comes out of the first Mishnah, Meseches Pesachim, Orla Arbasar, right, the Gemara comment of Habodek Tzarech Shivatel, and the Chiddush, that on Pesach, again, and Pesach is really the creation of a Yid. That on Pesach Dafka, what do we find? We find that a Jew is willing to what? Is trusted even just for his Ratzon Tov. Normally we say, you want to make something Hefker, you got to say it. No, here, a Jew is coming back to his roots. The formation of Klal Yisrael. Hashem says, I'm giving you a mitzvah, and if you show even a Ratzon to do that mitzvah, that's enough. That's sufficient. And the Satmar Rebbe had a diuk. The Satmar Rebbe said that when it describes the 4/5 who got left behind in Mitzrayim, it describes them as those who didn't want to be redeemed. Satmar Rebbe pointed to that word want. They didn't want to be redeemed. If you had a ratzon to get out of Mitzrayim, you got out of Mitzrayim. If you were so stuck in Mitzrayim in your mind that you couldn't even desire leaving Mitzrayim, then you got stuck in Mitzrayim. So here, it's the opposite. When a Jew shows that he has a ratzon to eradicate the chametz of his life, Hashem says, I take that very seriously on Pesach. All year round, when it comes to your possessions, Hefker has a formal process of how you're mafkir something. You need to say it in the presence of Edim. But on Pesach, if you want to be mafkir your chametz in your mind, Hashem says, no problem. No problem. It's a mitzvah. Megale ratzon tov. Yeah.
So, besides for, this is on the previous piece.
Okay.
With the understanding that there is a mitzvah yid for everyone, and more on the halachic perspective, that at a certain point you have to practically, halachically assume that someone's not going to be doing the mitzvah.
Okay.
So if there's a history of someone, I guess, like, having that behavior of not following through, then do we have this hypothesis that we can just assume that they would do the mitzvah of
a bittel?
A bittel, yeah.
Again, I don't know if we would assume it, but we'd be open to the possibility of a person.
Because right now we're banking on the fact that it's a mitzvah, and we know that Yidim do mitzvot, and that they would be inclined to do mitzvot no matter what.
Right.
But if we know that there's a history of not doing mitzvot, then...
Yeah, I'm not sure practically how we would look at that. Again, we declare our bittul.
Right.
We do declare our bittul.
Why do we do it?
Why do we declare it?
Like, we just learn we don't have to, right?
Right. So it would be enough technically to mevatel in one's heart. I'm not sure. The lay of Sagi. I'm not sure. We'd have to go back to the sugi and look at it more carefully to extract that.
Do you want to erase the malik? We want to erase the malik and just get rid of all Sagi.
Could be. Could be. Could be. But just the very fact that there's this novelty when it comes to bittul chametz that you wouldn't find usually. Again, some would say that it's not the mechanism of Hefker. But the Ran, who wants to think that Bittel is the equivalent of Hefker, how can you just be mafkered in your heart? And the answer is that when there's a mitzvah involved, as opposed to a regular hefker where you're just abandoning something that you possess, but here where there's a mitzvah to be mafker something, we take your ratzon more seriously. Okay, Chava, let's do one more. Yeah.
If we're making a hefker, why are we also burning it?
If we're making it hefker, why do we also burn it? Well, we're destroying the known chametz, so we're being mafker any unknown chametz.
Like a pretzel, like
right. Right, it's not mine. Even if it turns up in my possession, it's not mine.
Do you need to so that works for your let's say something you actually want to have here. Do you need to have it, know where it is, or in your arm, or in your hand, and be this is half care? Can't you say it's something you have here, even though you have no idea where it is?
You're mad for saying you don't know where it is? I'm not sure.
So the only comments you say, and there's actually any comments in my house I did find that's half care.
Right, that's the nusach, that's what you say. The chametz that I know about and the chametz that I don't know about. Tefker. And batel ka'afra da'ara.
Yeah, you can't
the dust of the earth. Could be. Alright. Alright, let's do one more. Let's do the bottom one on page 223. Go to the bottom paragraph. Okay, we'll do it quickly. Or lar basa bodkin as a chametz l'or haner. Hinei kamoshu b'dikas chametz v'inan shetehei b'dika l'or haner. Just like searching for chametz has to be done by the light of a candle, there is another type of bedika that requires this light as well. What does he mean? Remember this gemara? Brachos hayamad aleph. In roa adam shiyasur in ba in olav, yifashresh b'masav. If a person sees that he has troubles coming his way, he should search his behaviors, he should check his actions. Pishpesh v'lo matza. If he searches and says, I didn't do anything wrong, I don't have a particular error that I did, why is this happening to me? Yitla b'bitul Torah. He should assume that what? If he can't figure out, I made brachos, I davened, I kept Shabbos, I didn't wear sha'atnis, what did I do wrong? It must be that I don't learn enough. Yitla b'bitul Torah. Assume that the source of your troubles is your lack of diligence in Torah. Okay. V'nei kfar hikshu mafarshim. The Farshim ask about this. Dim yesh lit los sheesh biyado averish al bitl Torah, heich amru shepishpesh velo matza averos biyado. If he's able to acknowledge the fact that he didn't learn diligently, so why couldn't he? Meaning, maybe that's the avera. He checked himself out, and he couldn't find anything wrong with himself. So it must be bitl Torah. But why didn't he realize the bitl Torah was the thing that was wrong with himself, that he wasn't learning seriously? Like, oh, if you can't figure it out, if everything checks out, then assume it's this big of error that you did. Well, why didn't he discover that as one of the errors in his search? Just like bedikas chametz requires the light of what? The light of a candle, otherwise it's not a proper bedika. Kein ba'ez sha'adam bodek b'maisav. In Ein Bahem Davar Ha'iser, if a person is checking himself to see if he doesn't have averos, Tzarechu Livdoch Ezeh Keneged Ha'ur. So, does he even know enough to check himself? Does he have enough light, Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Ur, to even know what's expected of himself? If you don't learn, and that's the Vart, if you have Bittul Torah, if you don't learn seriously, you don't even know what's expected of you as a Jew. So you're going to check yourself and say, yeah, I'm a pretty good guy. But it's only because you don't even know what, right? I mean, ignorance is bliss, but you don't know what's expected of you. Va'ur hayachal ezeh hi ha-Torah. Ki dechsiv ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or. But the more I learn, right, the more accountability I take upon myself. The more I start to realize what I could be and what's expected of me. Turning the page, when a person has the light of Torah in his life, then he's very quickly, just like you're not going to find chametz if you don't turn on a light a candle, well guess what, you're not going to find the veras if you don't have a Torah perspective. You don't even know what you're looking for. You're not sure what you're searching for. But if you have the light of the Torah, then immediately you'll find esatzad hapagum shabo. You'll find the area that's lacking. Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, I thought it was just words. Oh, you didn't realize that Lashon Hara is one of the biggest averos? Oh, I never heard that. I assumed it was the smallest because it's just words. Okay, well, that's why you didn't think you did anything wrong. So if you didn't know, if you never learned the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, if you never, you know, read Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, if you don't know, right, that the Chafetz Chaim made such an asek out of guarding one's speech, so you would have thought you were a good guy, but really you have a very big avera. So without that Torah knowledge, you don't have the means to check yourself. And if a person can't find any problems or any imperfections in his avodas Hashem, it's because he doesn't have the light of Torah by which to even make that analysis. You hear? He doesn't even know what he's looking for. But however, a person can't acquire this light so easily. It's much easier to just light a candle to illuminate a dark room. It's a little bit more effort required to what? To illuminate our life with Torah. And chevra, I hate to break the news to you, but says the Musar Mishnah, if a person thinks he's going to have success in Torah without yigia, without effort, if he thinks he's just going to sit back and it's going to happen, it's not. Lo yala davar zebiado. He's not going to get to where he needs to get. V'chein matzino b'midbar rabba. It says in b'midbar rabba, v'pnei mat nenash David. Why was David the Melech punished? Shenis alim hamikra me'enav. V'pnei shakara l'divrei Torah zmiros. David the Melech got himself in trouble because he referred to Hashem's Torah and mitzvahs like songs. Songs? Shamar zmiros hayu lichu kecha. David thought he was saying praise, but Hashem got upset at David HaMelech for that. A song? You think it's just some cute little songs? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, divrei Torah, shekosu behen, my Torah about which it says in Mishlei, hisayif einecha bo ve'einenu, with the blink of an eye, your Torah can be lost. If you're not attentive, you're not focused, you can forget everything. Right? Atakoros and zmiros? You call them songs, like a little nursery rhyme that gets stuck in your head? If you don't keep learning, you're going to forget your Torah. You're not going to forget Mary Had a Little Lamb. You're not going to forget Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. That's stuck in your head. But you might forget what Toso said on Daf Beis and Gittin, if you don't chazer it ever. The blink of an eye could all be gone. So you call my Torah songs? Hare ani machshilcha bedavar sha'afilo tinoko shabes rabim yodinosan. So David HaMelech, I'm going to cause you to stumble in an explicit pasuk. I'm going to cause you to mess up in something that even little school children know. What's the pshat? What was he saying to David HaMelech? Right? You mess up on the pasuk. It says in Bamidbar Perek Zayin, "Ulevnei kahas lo nasan ki avodas hakodesh aleihem bekosif yisal." You have to carry the parts of the kelim of the mishkan on your shoulder, and he put them v'ihu asya be'egla. And he put it on a wagon. And he had it drawn by animals. Right? So David HaMelech, you call it a song, I'll show you what happens when you're not diligent in Torah. Torah has to be taken on our shoulders as a serious responsibility. Ubiro ha-mefarshim, sha'inyin b'zehu, l'fi sha'amu b'medrash ha-tam, shal nesiyas ha-aron b'kosef. Why do you carry the aron? Why were they charged with carrying the aron on their shoulders? V'chdei lo'odiyah sha'in ha-torah niknes ele b'yegi ha-rabah. Because like a yoke, right, that's placed upon the shoulders of an animal, like a person who's pulling or schlepping or carrying a heavy object, you take it on your back, you put it on your shoulders. So Hashem wanted us to know that what? The Torah is like that also. V'pnei shelo yada hadavar hazeh, ba l'chlal tos lomar sha'atorah hu davar kal, ve'eino ela kezemer ba'alma. But David HaMelech misunderstood this. He treated the Torah like a little song, and therefore, Hare Dami Shahu Lomar Torah Beli Yagia. So, because David HaMelech said that the Torah is like a song, who also lichasho gam bidvar mayosir pshutim. So, therefore, David HaMelech is going to mess up with what? With a simple thing. But specifically, the simple thing of what? The simple halacha that you need to carry the Torah on your shoulders. Because it's one and the same. David calling it a song is a failure to carry the Torah on your shoulders. It's a responsibility. So when a person learns, I learn, but I learn in a way that expresses a certain casualness, a and I can't get focused, and I can't get my head in the game, and I can't... Okay, I'm not saying not to schmooze a couple minutes with your chavrusa. That's fine. That's important. That's a healthy part. But at a certain point, come on, we got to work. We got to work hard. And if it means pulling out a dictionary and looking up word by word, we'll do it. And if it means spending 45 minutes trying to crack a Rashi, right? And it's hard, just trying to figure it out, but I don't give up and, you know, ask someone who already figured it out to tell me. I want to solve it because I'm working hard at it. That's a gevaldik thing. But lechein shaper amru. So therefore, that's what Chazal is saying. The impishpesh velo matza. If you checked yourself out and you couldn't find anything wrong, yitle bebitl Torah. The same way that in your lima Torah you're not working hard enough, in your soul searching you're also not working hard enough. You're giving yourself a free pass. You're saying, yeah, I'm a good guy, and you are a good guy. And as we learned in the previous piece, every Jew has a ratzon pnimi to be a great guy, but there also is a responsibility. V'zeu lomar sha'afim ha'odam hazeh kovei itim la'torah. V'doma be'enav she'en bo ha'chet shal bitl Torah. Even if he says, but I do come, I do show up. Right? I don't miss. I'm kovei itim la'torah. I do learn Torah. He thinks in his mind, I don't have bitl Torah. B'chol zeh yitle she'yesh b'yadav ha'chet hazeh. Realize you could be more diligent in your Torah study. We all could. It's not an attack on anyone. It's just that we all could be a little more focused and a little more diligent. Mishum dekevan she'en motzei averos shelo. And the fact that you can't find your averos and that you're giving yourself too much of a free pass and not working on yourself, mare she'en hu lo mitor biyagia. It's because the same way that you're not prepared to work hard in Tosos, you're not prepared to work hard in your Shmiras Einayim. You're not prepared to work hard in remembering Alamichya Balpe. You're not prepared to work hard in whatever. Whatever it is that, you know, learning Hilchos Shabbos because you don't know it. Lefichach ein or hator biyado. So then you're lacking a certain light, and if you're lacking that light, then you're not going to be able to analyze yourself. And without that light, you're never going to find what's off, what needs to be fixed. Concludes the Musar Mishnah in the last paragraph of this piece. V'hu adin bedika. Isa b'Rama. The Rama tells us an interesting halacha. Simin Taf Lamed Gimel, chapter 433 of the Shulchan Aruch Seif Yud Aleph. D'chol Adam Tzarech Lechabed Chadarav Kodem Abedika. Bedikas Chametz is not the first moment. Very important halacha. Bedikas Chametz, the official Bedikas Chametz, is not the first moment where you start getting your Chametz organized. The halacha says you need Lechabed Chadarav Kodem Habedika. You need to sweep the room before Bedikas Chametz. You got to sweep the floors first. Why? V'atam efshar lomar d'becheder she'eno naki y efshar lahargish es ha'pirurin ha'katanim shel chametz ha'mefuzarim besocho. Because chavra, if the room is spotless and then you start searching, you're going to find that last Cheerio. But if the room is a mess, you're going to think Bedikas Chametz is just getting all the obvious Chametz, which is also good. But you're not going to put in the extra effort. If your starting point is the room is so clean, I don't think there's any Chametz here to begin with. And then you get down on your stomach and you get under the fridge and you find that pretzel that fell out of your pocket, you know, or out of the drawer, out of the cabinet 6 months ago, right? Then you find the little crumbs, so to speak, of your life. So first, clean up the big mess. You know why? That'll give you the motivation in the search to try to find even the small crumbs. Rakesh mechabdin as a cheder, when you sweep the room, as margishin as a perurin hayoser ketanim. When you sweep the room, you know what else happens when you sweep? You're not just sweeping up the big things. Just by sweeping the floor, it doesn't even look like there's so much on the floor, but by the time you're done sweeping, you have a whole pile of crumbs. You find the little pieces. You find the small crumbs. Is that doma lebeged shu naki umaluban yafe shef shelahargish bo as a kesem hayoser katan, or like a clean garment, a clean white garment, a small stain, a small, you know, drop of you cut your finger and you get a drop of blood on your white shirt, right? So it's very noticeable. The same thing is true when it comes to what? When it comes to our soulful searching. So when the whole room is a big mess, right, so it's very hard to notice the small problems. But if I first clean up the big problems, and then I show that Hashem, now I'm ready to what? To go really deep, to find even the small crumbs, to sweep up every little crumb, and to get under the cabinets, and to find that last, again, that last Cheerio that rolled away. Right, so that's a real cleansing. If I did my initial cleaning, then when I search more, I'll find those small pieces. Okay, so three beautiful pieces. Again, number one, how we transform the night into a zman of mitzvah. Right, or la arbasar, and that's a novelty. Have an illuminated night, which becomes again part of the theme of Pesach, and it's also true according to the Ravid, because you start searching when it's still a little bit light out. And then we learned about the inner potential of every Jew, which again expresses itself in Hilchos Pesach, that you're able to be mevatel at the chametz even in your heart, which is a chiddush. Normally for Hefker you need a dibur and witnesses. And number three, we learned that if a person can't find the chametz in his life, it's probably because he doesn't even know what he's searching for, because he doesn't have a proper candle. The more you have the light of Torah, the more you'll be able to really clean up your act. Yes, Yonah Eden.
The third one, is it saying that you're just missing fire, or you're missing, like you don't know what you're missing?
It's a combination. Right, it's a combination. You may be missing the information, right? But also because you're not serious about, you're not driven in your learning. So you're also casual about your soulful cleanup. You're not cleaning in a real way. Right? The same way you're casual about trying to solve tosos because it's too hard. So it's also too hard to overcome that taiva. But when you develop an attitude of hard work, when you take the Sefer Torah, you take the Aron on your shoulders, and you don't just call it Zmiros, that's what Hashem was upset at David about, you call it Zmiros. That's why David messed up with Dafka carrying the Aron on his shoulders. He put the Aron on a wagon. Right, and Hashem says that's the same mistake, right? That's a certain casualness. You want the easy path to carrying Torah. So if you're not driven to work hard in Torah, you're not going to be willing to work hard to work on your relationships. You're not going to be hard to work on your shmiras of bris. You're not going to be willing to work hard to check if the hechsher is really kosher, because I heard from someone that it's fine and like it's too annoying to make a few phone calls. Right, so I'll take the easy path in life. But the easy path in life, you're not going to get the crumbs of your averos. And we want to be chametz free, completely chametz free, down to the last crumb. That's the part. Yeah.
You also relate the first idea, the third idea, for like make your chametz happier. At the same time, like Hashem's part of it too.
Yes.
And the third idea is also like.
Yes, on the one hand it's you have it in you, and at the same time it's radical responsibility.